I was thinking about how the Lord puts things together. You know, I knew they were going to, the impact thing was going to be today with the kids. And but the focus of what's going on thus far in the service seems to be right in line with what I want to share with you today from God's Word. Because what I want to do is I want to share with you some things on the subject of a labor of love. A labor of love. Now, if I were to ask you today, whether or not you like work, I don't know if you like work or not. You know, there's some people who loathe work. That's too much work, okay? And they don't like work. And then I met others that say, well, they're a workaholic. They love work, you know? Maybe some kinds of work they love. There are probably some other kinds they don't love. They have shows on TV of dirty jobs and stuff like that, things that most people don't like to do, but other people, they find it so it's fine. You know, I guess you can get used to almost anything. But I was thinking about, sometimes we talk about things as being a labor of love, a labor of love. We've been discussing what the Bible says of what the responsibilities are for a Christian in recent days, new Christians. If you've recently come to the Lord, say over this past year, you've recently made a commitment to Jesus Christ, and people then ask, well, what difference is that going to make? Why is it so important to make a decision for Christ? Well, the reason why it's important is it makes a profound change in your lifestyle. And even your attitude towards work. God does not expect you to make a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Savior and then be a slouch and not want to work or do anything. God wants you to be productive. Let me just say that. It is built into the nature of man. And by man, I use that in a universal sense, men and women. It is built into our nature to work. And it was prophesied in Genesis, says you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. Guess what that means? If you're sweating, you see someone out and say, man, you're really working. How do you know? I can see the sweat rolling down your face. You say, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. That's the way you're going to make it through life. And do you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing really wrong with that. And I believe that's really part of God's design. There's something about the human makeup that God has this place, this special place for work. And so we all got to do something. And some people reach that, they think it's like the golden ring, you know, retirement. And then they say, well, what am I going to do? And I've talked to people in retirement and said, you know, I'm busier now than I've ever been. I said, I thought your retirement, you work so you don't have to work anymore. Oh, no, I'm busier now than I ever been. I've talked to a number of retirees like that. You see, there's something in our nature that we got to be doing something. And God values that in us. There's something about that that's very special. When you give your heart to Jesus Christ, God wants you to be productive. And God wants you to not just lay back and say, okay, God, now I belong to you, and you just take care of everything. God has something special for you, and he wants you to fit into that plan that he has for you. And I was thinking about this labor of love. The work that we do for the Lord, is it hard? Is it difficult? Man, I can tell you, it can be really difficult. This church, over 40 years ago, as a young man, I came here, and I had a few ladies and some teens. That's all we had, and getting the church started. And I laid over 1,000 block in that first building over there that we use as the offices. And I can remember I'd be out there by myself, and the sun beating down, and the kids would come sometimes after school and mix cement for me, and sometimes the ladies would come and do what they could, you know. And there was no one else there, and I was laying those block, and I would think, Lord, the day's going to come when I'm going to look back and see this is all history. I don't have to lay another block. I don't have to be out here doing all this, you know, and working by the sweat of my brow. But yet can it be tough? It can be really tough. Sometimes work can be really tough. They say the best things in life, they don't come easy. Lots of time you got to put forth effort. But how does that fit into us being a Christian? I was thinking about Jacob. You know Jacob. It's a great story. You'll find it back in Genesis chapter 29. It's a great story, I'll tell you. If anybody knew about a labor of love, it was Jacob. It was Jacob. You go back to chapter 29 of Genesis, and it talks about this. You know, it came time for Jacob to find a wife. Comes a time when he wanted to settle down. He wanted to find a good woman, and he found one. She was beautiful. Her name was Rachel. And so he went, and his uncle said, look, you work for me 7 years, and I'll give you my daughter to wed. So he did all that, and you know the story. It says that Jacob served for Rachel. And it says here, and those 7 years he labored. He said they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. And I was thinking, if ever there's an example of a labor of love, it's right there. He works hard for his uncle Laban for 7 years. And it said it seemed like a few days because of his love for this beautiful girl, Rachel. Well, you know what happened at the end. He was tricked, and because Leah, she had an older sister, Leah, and she wasn't married yet. In that culture, you didn't marry off the younger before the older. Some families today, that kind of works that way too, you know. You know what I mean? Don't allow the younger one to be married first. You got to have the older one married first, then you marry the younger. So what he did was he tricked him, and he gave him Leah instead. And of course, Jacob said, what is this? I worked all these 7 years, and it was a labor of love on his part. And he said, well, this is our custom. And he made a deal with him and said, you work another 7 years, I'll give you my other daughter. So, and it worked out. He did give him Rachel also. Back then they had multiple spouses back there. So he had both Leah and Rachel. Men, just think of that, huh? I tell you, he had his hands full. He had both Leah and Rachel trying to keep them happy and not at each other's throats and all that stuff. But he was willing. The thing that really jumped off the page when I thought about this was that he was willing to do it, even though Laban tricked him. He went the extra 7 years, 14 years total, because of his love for Rachel. And I believe that was probably as close to a labor of love as anything you're going to get, you know, as far as Scripture says. But I was thinking in our Christian walk, it's kind of like that if you stop and think about it. The end hasn't come when you give your heart to the Lord. That's the beginning. And you're going to find there's opportunities there that God's going to put in your life, and God's going to want you to do something significant. Significant. I think it comes down to it. How do you see your work for the Lord? Is it drudgery? Oh, they needed another volunteer. I hate to work with babies. They need another volunteer in the nursery, but I feel like I got to do it. So you got somebody back there, they don't want to be there. They don't, all the crying, the diapers need to be changed, all that stuff. They don't want to be there, but they're there because they feel obligated. They're laboring, but it's not a labor of love, you know. Or you have someone who says, you know, I'll gladly do it because there's a need. And it's part of ministry for the Lord. We're supposed to do all things as if we're doing it for the Lord, you see. Whether it's washing the dusty feet of a traveler back in those days, kneeling down and washing the feet because it ought to be done. It was showing hospitality. Or if it's doing something that you just hate doing, but you do it because you love Jesus. There's that labor of love. You do it because you love the work of God. You're going to find that in your Christian walk. There are times you're going to do some things that you don't necessarily love the thing you're doing, but you love Jesus so much you do it anyhow, you see. And that's why it's a labor of love. It's your love for God. It's your love for Christ. And that's why you respond. And that's why you get involved. And we had a good representation of that this morning with the sponsors that are here helping these young girls. You see, it's a labor of love, like Kathleen said. It's not like we just sit around all day. We got time on our hands. Well, let's see what we can do today. Maybe I'll get involved in MPAC. No, they have plenty to do. but they're doing something because it's right and it's good and somebody's got to do it, and so they're willing to do it and they're willing to put forth the effort. They're willing to make time when they really don't have time. They're willing to sacrifice because they love God and they love His church and they love the work of the church and they love these kids and they want to see something significant happen in their lives. And so they say, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. You see, so much of it has to do with attitude, whether or not your labor is a labor of love or not. That's what it is. You stop and think about it, you know. So why not get happy about it and enjoy it and say, well, I'm doing it for you, Jesus. More than once, I have found myself saying that. I said, Lord, I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for you. It's because I love you, and I love your church, and I love the work of the Lord, and I want to see positive things happen in the kingdom of God. So that's, I'm going to do it for you. If for no other reason, I don't have to like what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I love the cause of Christ, say. And that changes things, folks. It really does. As a Christian, as a child of God, when you give your heart to Jesus, that you're going to find there are going to be some things that are going to open up to you. And I want to touch on a few things. I was thinking of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, at the beginning of that. You know, these epistles are letters, and so Paul is writing, and he's writing, he says, we give thanks to God always for all of you. He's talking about the Christians that are in the town of Thessalonica. They were young Christians, they were new, brand new Christians in the Lord, and he said, I give thanks to God for always for you, making mention of you in our prayers constantly, bearing in mind, and notice what he says, your work of faith and labor of love. He mentions it right there. He saw that they were working for God. And he saw that they weren't working just because they felt like they had to or somebody was forcing them. He said, there's something there special about what you're doing for God. It's your labor of love. And then he goes on to say, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. That's his salutation. That's the opening of his letter to these Christians that were living there in Thessalonica. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't it be great if whenever somebody sent you a note or whatever, one of the first things they noted was your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and the good work you're doing for God. And they saw that. He said, you know, we just appreciate so much your attitude. We appreciate so much what you're doing for the cause of Christ. There's something positive about that. Three things I'm going to share with you on this subject. And the first one is this. When you talk about a labor of love, and since you've become a Christian, some of you have been a Christian for years, but if you're a new Christian, the first thing is this. God wants of you 100%. Whoa, what do you mean 100%? I mean, I can carve out a little bit of time on Sunday, and maybe I could teach a class if asked, but, you know, maybe I can get involved. I could, you know, maybe get involved from time to time and do something for the church. But what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is that whatever your vocation is, whatever your profession is, each day, God doesn't want you just to carve out a little bit of time for Him. He wants you 100%. Now, in that 100%, you're going to be doing a lot of stuff. It's not all going to be church work or things like that. But he wants whatever you're doing, He wants you to understand that what you're doing, the life you are living, is consequential. That it's going to make a difference for time and eternity. So that whatever you're doing, it reflects a relationship you now have with God through Jesus Christ. So therefore, 100% of your time matters to God. 100%. And during that 100% of time, there are going to be times where you're going to be directly doing something for the work of God. Others of you are going to be more involved than some are. Yeah, just simply because of your responsibilities that you have. But he wants 100%. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, Ecclesiastes is a great book because it's Solomon, and it's believed that it's Solomon in his old age. He's reflecting on his life, and what he's doing is, he was the wisest of all men who have ever lived, and he's reflecting on some of the decisions he's made, the things he had to do and all that. And so he gives us his observations. So here's a man that's the wisest of all men, and he lived a full life. And he's looking back on it, and he's giving us some pointers, some things. And this is what he says in Ecclesiastes 9:10. He says this, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I from time to time, would hear my dad or my mom say to me growing up, say, if you're going to do it, you know, then you might as well do it right. Just do it. Do the best you can. Don't do it to get by. And that's what I was thinking about. How does that apply? Well, don't fall to the temptation of mediocrity. You know what that is? That's just working, getting something done just to do it. I recall, you know, in school, you might have recalled too, and the teacher would give an assignment and maybe write something, write an essay on what you did this past summer, or something like that, you know, and kids would be handing in their papers. I had some friends that were real intelligent, you know, and they would send in a, you know, full page or two pages, something like that. And then there were some kids in our class, I mean, they turn in a paper, and here's this thing, two or three lines, you know. Went to the shore, spent time with some friends, had a great time, and they handed it in. And it was obvious they were doing the assignment just to do the assignment. At best, it was mediocrity. It was probably worse than that. And some people look at the chores they have and the responsibilities they have and the work that God affords them and the things that have to be done, they look at it that way. I've got to do this, just get it out of the way, and they settle for mediocrity time and time. Well, maybe occasionally that might happen, but you know, God wants you to do whatever it is with excellence in mind. Whatever your hand finds to do, it says, do it with all your might. The point is, if you're going to do something, don't just do it to try to get it out of the way. Do it with the mind of Christ, that you're going to do the very best that you can. Now, here's the thing. You say, but you know, I'm not as good as someone else. You see, the problem is sometimes we'll do something, say, well, someone else could do this better, whatever, and we'll begin to compare ourselves with the way someone else would do it. And you say, well, they could do a much better job or whatever. And some people actually get down. They have a task to do, and they get down about it and say, well, it's not as good as what so-and-so did or whatever. You know, it's kind of like the grading system. Again, going back to the school example, you know, in school, some kids got A's and some got B's. Well, listen, if a B or a B minus is the best you could do, take pride in the fact you did your best, if that's what you did. See? We get into this thing of comparing ourselves with others. The point is not that you compare your best with someone else's best. The point is you do something with all the effort you can, to your best effort, wherever that falls. You know, is it on the A level? Is it on the B level? Is it on the C level? Don't worry about that. Just give it your best shot. We use that phrase. Just give it your best shot, see? Don't do something with the idea you're just going to try to get through it. And unfortunately, there's some Christians, and that's the way they get through life. They're just kind of doing stuff kind of haphazardly and just trying to get it out of the way, and they're not giving it their best shot. God wants you to look at life in a way that you try to live your life with excellence in mind. You want to do your best. That doesn't mean that you have to reach the same level as someone else. It doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that you're doing it with full effort, with 100%. You're doing it the best you can. And if the best you can is something that someone else would say, well, that's not as good as, you know, what I could do, or so be it. You know, that's all right. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing something and giving it your best shot and realizing that maybe someone else could have done it better or whatever. The main thing is that you did your best and you gave full attention to whatever it is God was asking you to do. God wants 100% of your effort. You see, it is your best effort that counts. That's the thing that counts. Not whether or not you did it as good as someone else did it. I've heard some people say, you know, someone's out there working hard, doing something, and they look at something and they say, well, man, I could have done a better job than that. Well, the question you ask them, they say, well, then where were you when the call went out? You know, where were you? I didn't see you out on work day. You know, I could have done a better job trimming the hedge. Oh, yeah? Well, where were you? Yeah. But I did the best I could, see? I don't claim to be a pro, but I gave it my best shot. A lot of people that are can be critical and they can be cynical and all that, and they got a lot to say. They got all kinds of advice they want to give you. But where are they when the call goes out? Where are they when the need is the greatest, you see? We need people that are willing to arise and say, I'm going to give it my best shot. I've heard more than once, I've taken construction teams various places around the world, and we've helped out missionaries and built a lot of places. And I've had many of them guys come to me and say, Pastor, I said, well, you know, I'm not really skilled in this area or whatever. And I said, well, listen, we just want you to do the best you can. And they said, well, I'm willing to do that. I said, just give it your best shot. And there's a lot of guys that have gone out and they've blessed other churches and people around the world. They just did the best they could. And it was fine. It was good enough. And it enhanced the kingdom of God. That's what God wants. It's an attitude you see you develop. Are you living life just trying to get through life and looking at work as being drudgery? Or do you see it as an opportunity where you can reflect the beauty and the majesty and the greatness of the God you serve? You really are a reflection of the Father. People, if you bear the name Christian, if you bear that designation, well, I'm a Christian, then people look at your life and they assume then whatever they're seeing in your life, that's a reflection of the God you serve. You say, how often have you heard it said, well, you say you're a Christian, but, right? What are people doing? They're taking what they think a Christian ought to be, and then they're looking at a person's life and they say, hey, you don't measure up. Well, I know none of us are perfect, but you can at least do your best. You can at least give it 100%. So not only does God want 100%, but we notice this, and that is that we need to, when we're talking about a labor of love, we need to value the present, that is the now. Value the present if you're working. I was thinking of the incident, Jesus and the healing of the blind man in John 9:4. You know, He heals the blind man. It was really an interesting story because then they quiz the blind man. Then they start blaming the blind man for his blindness and everything else, and because they didn't want to credit Jesus with anything, the skeptics. But in that whole passage that you find there in the Gospel of John, Jesus makes this statement. He says, we must work the works of him who has sent me as long as it is day. And then he says, night is coming when no one can work. You see, the opportunities that God affords you to do something significant, to say something significant, to work in a significant way, those opportunities are not always going to be there. You know, we just think, oh, well, that's another opportunity passing. I don't have to worry about that. Listen, God gives us opportunities to roll up our sleeves and to work and to do something significant for a reason. It is to enhance his kingdom, and it's so that you can let your light shine at a strategic time, at a timely moment, and that in some way that's going to enhance the kingdom of God. And if you don't take advantage of it, if you assume, well, I'm always going to have that opportunity, it doesn't work that way. You don't always have that opportunity. That opportunity may come, it may be fleeting, it might be there for a short time, and you've got to make up your mind, am I going to give it my best, am I going to take advantage of this, or am I just going to kind of dilly-dally around well, I don't know, and I've heard some people say they're going to pray about something and never heard back from them, you know. An opportunity comes to minister or get involved in the work of the Lord, well, let me pray about it. Okay, prayer is good, I'm all for prayer. Go ahead and pray, you know. But then I never hear anything back. What happened? I don't know. Maybe they're still praying. I don't know. Maybe they fell asleep while they were praying. I don't know what happened to them. See? But you see what I'm saying, folks? There's sometimes you just got to be at the ready all the time. You just got to be looking. Say, God, if you wake up in the morning, say, God, now lead me today. Guide me today. If there's an opportunity, oh, God, then reveal it to me because I want to be at the ready. At that moment when the opportunity is there, that's I want to be ready to respond. See, it's an attitude you have, folks, and I believe Christians of anybody, It ought to be born-again people ought to have that attitude, because we have a redemptive purpose. The reason why we're saved is not just so that we can kind of get goosebumps from time to time when God's presence is in the sanctuary. The reason why we're saved is so that we can go out and begin to minister to a hurting world. That's what it's all about. So that we can seize the opportunity when we're afforded it, and we don't hold back. We get right involved, and we give it our best, and we do whatever needs to be done. Now, doesn't mean it's going to happen that whatever responsibility you have is going to be forever. I mean, some of these things, it's just for a brief season, you know. It might be for a day or two you're going to be involved in whatever. It might be for several weeks. It might be for several months. Whatever it is, you just do your best. You see, the point is that you have to value the present. You have to value the now and not be putting things off. Say, well, I'll get involved in that down the road or whatever. You got to do it now. That's whenever God is challenging you, that's usually the best time to say yes. My experience has always been, you know what's happened is sometimes I've experienced the Lord saying, impressing something upon me, and I'll say, yeah, I want that, and that excitement will be there, but I'll kind of let it linger, and I'll wait, and I'll put it off, and before you know it, in a few days, I don't have the same excitement about it that I had. Right? You see what I mean? God's looking for you to be at the ready and to be responsive, and when he urges you about something, and sometimes in some cases I said, okay, now, Lord, I think I'm ready, and then I turned, and I found out that the opportunity was completely gone. And in some cases, the people involved were dead. Because the opportunity I had was to minister to someone who was struggling, and there was a crisis hour. And I didn't respond at the time. I thought it's always going to be there. Listen, those opportunities aren't always going to be there. They're not always going to be there. So when we're talking about a labor of love, we're talking about God wanting 100%. We're talking about valuing the present, that when God speaks to you and you say, how do I know it's God? Well, if you know, you feel an urging, and you know it's righteous and good, you just look to the Bible. Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it good? You know, you look to Philippians. It gives you a whole list there of things to judge it by. Then those are the things that you ought to pursue. Those things that are good, and those things that will enhance the kingdom of God. It's probably God telling you then, see? Now, if it's something that's questionable, and it's going to cause you to divert your attention away from the things of God, then stay away from those kinds of things. But if it's something that's going to enhance the kingdom of God, it's probably God saying, hey, this is what I want for you. Hey, this is what I want. And the third thing here, before I close, is this, and that is, be reminded that if you're faithful, and if you have a good attitude, and your labor is a labor of love for God and his kingdom, there's a reward that awaits you. And that's the frustrating thing, because, you know, we are creatures that are finite with respect to time. We see ourselves, we're imprisoned in this segment of time, our lifespan, and we see ourselves caught in that, and we don't understand that the greatest things lie ahead for us. We want to see it now. We want the rewards now. Kids are like that, right? You, if you deal with kids, you want to reward a kid, don't tell them, well, it's coming. After a while, they're going to forget about it. Oh, you're always saying it's coming. I never see it, you know. Oh, we're supposed to have that ice cream party, or we're supposed to have whatever. I never see it. When are we going to have it? Let's get it. Come on, let's get with it, see? We want things now. And what you need to understand is that we're not just creatures that are held captive in time, but we have eternity built within us because of our spirit, our soul, and so we are eternal in that sense. There's a destiny for us, an eternal destiny, and I if you notice Revelation 22:12, we're, by the way, on Sunday nights we're looking at Revelation, and we'll do that again tonight at 6 o'clock here. But in Revelation 22:12, Jesus is prophetically speaking. He says, behold, I am coming quickly, And then he goes on to say, and my reward is with me to render to every man, and this last phrase, according to what he has done. I think you could probably paraphrase it. According to the labor of love, that he has done. In other words, Jesus has come and he's got a reward. And what's that going to be based on? Now, I know we're not saved by works. Nobody's saved by works. You can't be saved by works. But I do believe in reward. The Bible clearly teaches reward. That although we're all on level ground when it comes to salvation, when it comes to kingdom issues, there are rewards. And it says specifically that he is going to reward everyone according to what you've done. I want to ask you this morning, is your labor for the Lord a labor of love? That's real important to God. And I believe that's going to be one of the criteria that he's going to use. Because there are going to be some people that are going to come and say, well, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Didn't I do all these great things? And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So don't think it's what you think is good. You have to look at your work for God based on his criteria and from his viewpoint. And that's why I say our Christian love for God has to give expression in a labor of love, working for the Lord. One of the toughest things is to, pioneer a church and pastor a small group of people. And every week coming back to the same 10 or 12 that's there, and every now and then you get one person come in. One person comes in over the course of several months. Everybody is excited. Hey, it's not just us 10. There's now 11 of us. I've been there. A lot of my ministry has been pioneer work, pastoring churches like that, and going in areas that have suffered tragedy and all kinds of things. It's kind of like burn over territory and trying to revive. And it was one church I pastored. It was like I had to have a resurrection Sunday every Sunday just to get my congregation up to hear the message. You know what I mean? I had to resurrect them because they came in. It was like their best friend had just died. All of them. They were so down, beaten down. I've been there, so I know what that's like. But the thing that has seen me over all these years is I'm reminded that I'm doing it for Jesus' sake. You do it for Jesus' sake. You don't do it because you get a thrill. You don't do it because you necessarily like what it is. You do it because it's right and it's good and it's just. And you do it because if Jesus were here and if he were given the opportunity, he'd do it. He got down on his knees and was washing the feet of his disciples. That was what slaves did. Jesus didn't stop and analyze it all. Just something that needed to be done, and he did it, and he did it with the right spirit. He didn't do it begrudgingly. He just did it because it was right. God is looking for people who will labor for him. It's a labor of love. That's what your walk with Jesus is. You do it because you love Jesus. You do it because he loved you so much. He went the way of the cross, and he's looking for people that will roll up their sleeves and say, you know what? Somebody's got to do it. It's got to be done. It has nothing to do with whether or not I want to do it. It has everything to do with the kingdom of God and the necessity of somebody responding. How about it? Is your labor for the Lord a labor of love? Bow your heads in prayer right now. We don't live for God. We don't do things for Christ simply for the applause of men, for some adulation or earthly reward. We do it because we're sold out and fully committed to the God we serve. And we love the kingdom of God more than we even love ourselves. And I wonder, there might be somebody here and say, Pastor, you've been preaching and somehow the Holy Spirit's convicted me a little bit about this, but I need to maybe change my attitude when it comes to the work of the Lord and some things. And I want to have the right attitude because Jesus loves me so much. He's been speaking to my heart today. And I felt a little conviction and I want to say yes to God. God will do whatever it is. And whenever, I just want to have that attitude that the work of Christ, it's not drudgery. It's just not another obligation that weighs heavy upon me, but it's an opportunity, and I want to reveal that by having the right attitude. I want it to be a labor of love. I love the Lord, and He loves me, and that's what I want. I want to have that kind of an attitude when it comes to God and His work. Is that you, my friend? Is that you? Are you here today? Just slip your hand up and say, yeah, preacher, that's me. Amen. Yeah. I know. Some of you are working for God. It can get tough. I know that. But you want that attitude. I'm doing it for Jesus' sake. I'm not doing it for any other reason. Anybody else, you just feel that way, just slip your hand up. I want to include you in prayer as we close. Amen. Yeah. I see you. God sees you. God sees your heart. He sees what I cannot see and what others cannot see. I'm going to pray right now. And if you're here today, whether or not you raised your hand, but you felt that way and you want to do what is right, that you include yourself. God knows what your intent is. Jesus, I pray right now in your precious name, precious saints that we have here today. Lord, sometimes it is tough. Sometimes it is difficult. Sometimes it is frustrating. Sometimes you want to throw your hands up. Sometimes you want to quit. But that's not what a labor of love does. It's continuing. It's being faithful and realizing we live not for ourselves. We live for our Lord. And so today, I pray, O God, that you would just inspire those that you're dealing with and help them. Anyone who really wants help in this area, they can receive it. And so I just pray that you would inspire your people and those that are laboring for you. May their labors be labors of love for the cause of Christ and His kingdom. And I know that you then will bless these lives. There's something that happens when we say no to self and yes to God. There's a joy that is full and complete that goes beyond expression that we experience. And it's not based on any reward we get in the moment as far as the benefit of what we've done, because sometimes it's difficult. We just do it because it's right, it's good. And then, Lord, you reward us. God, I pray that you will make tender the spirits of those who are looking to you even now, those that you're speaking to now. And may the kingdom of God be enhanced through the labors of love that come from His people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So if I were to ask you, do you love work? I don't know. I don't know what you'd say. Some of you would say, no, not particularly. Nothing wrong with that. But if I were to ask you, do you think that maybe there could be an attitude change when God asks you to do something? It's one thing for me to ask someone to do something, but when God speaks, that's different. I've said no to some people because I didn't think it was God. it wasn't like it was a God thing or anything. It was just something that I felt God didn't want me to get involved in. That's fine, you know. But there are other times I've really felt the conviction of the Lord. And the times I have responded in those occasions are times when I've received blessing and encouragement from the Lord. He's going to give you what you need for the task before you if you have a willing heart. So I pray that you come to discover the richness of God's grace in times like that as you submit to Him and get involved in the work of God. Everybody ought to be involved in God's work in some way. Some are more than others, even though you're not called to be a missionary or an evangelist or a preacher. You're still called. God has called you. Be involved where you can be effective. Some of you are in workplaces I'll never be able to reach, but you're there. You be that light for Jesus' sake. and you respond and don't hesitate. And when you feel the urging of the Spirit to go the extra mile, do it, knowing that you're doing it because you love the Lord, okay? And I believe things will go well and your life will be blessed because of it. Stand with me if you will. Remember the announcements of the day and the activities tonight, 6 o'clock. All our ministries will be going on here for the kid, for the children and also Bible study at 6. And let's believe that God's going to just help us to be effective. I've been praying about, especially about us having a real impact on our community. And it just begins, it starts with just each one of us seeing the need to share with others the love of Christ. Find out if someone's born again. You work with them, so find out, do you know the Lord? You know, how are things going? And be bold in that sense. You can be very winsome in the way you address things like this with people you know. Don't feel threatened, but just share with you because of your concern for that individual and their well-being. Share with them the love of God. Just, you know, share with them your faith. Share with them your testimony, just as a matter of fact, and see what will happen through it, okay? God wants to build his kingdom. The question is he going to find builders here at Trinity? I hope he does. I hope we have a church full of builders. Let's build the kingdom of God, all right? Let's do that. Let's do it with the right attitude. Let's see it as a labor of love. We're doing it for Jesus' sake. Okay? And don't be so concerned about, well, it's going to be an imposition on me. And don't think of it. Always think of it as enhancing God's kingdom. Jesus is coming, and my reward is with me to everyone. Every man, every woman, every young person, according to what he has done. Let that word stay with us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the saints. We thank you, Lord, for the people that you have brought into our lives that have changed us for the better, their influence. Thank you for the sacrifices of love of those down through the years that have made it possible even to come and be in a place like this today and to worship you and to lift you up. Now I ask your blessing upon your people. They're going to go their various ways. Keep them from peril and danger. Protect them, Lord. I pray every household that's represented here. May the mercy of God be upon each household and your hand of protection be upon them as they go into the field to labor for you. I pray in the name of Christ our Savior, our Lord. Amen.